This is WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM. Free Speech Radio News airs every Friday at 5 p.m. on WEFT Community Radio, followed by Smile Politely Radio coming up next. My guest for Smile Politely is Lucia Maldonado. She is with the CU Immigration Forum and a liaison for Latino families in the Urbana School District. Stay tuned for that. In the background, you're hearing some beautiful music by Kevin Elliott, some nice fingerstyle guitar. I wanted to tell you about an upcoming event that's called His Dream. It happens on Sunday. It's the celebration of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. It's going to be taking place at the Great Hall in Cranock Center for the Performing Arts at 500 South Goodwin Avenue in Urbana. And it starts at 5 p.m. The speaker is going to be WEFT's own, Carol Ammons. Of course, she doesn't just belong to WEFT anymore. She is now an Illinois state representative. But she also has a show here on WEFT on Saturday mornings from 8 to 10 o'clock. Her and her significant other, spouse, partner, husband, Aaron Ammons, share the mic from, I think I have that right, from 8 to 10 with a program called Higher Ground. So you can hear Carol give the keynote speech at the Martin Luther King celebration at the Cranert's Great Hall. There's going to be music by Community Interracial Interdenominational Choir, directed by Willie Somerville. And the sponsors are the Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Advocacy for Justice and the University of Illinois Office of the Chancellor and the Office of Equal Opportunity and Access at the University of Illinois. In addition, on Monday, there's going to be a Unity Breakfast at Vineyard Church from 8:30 to 10:30. And Susan Ogwal is the King Scholar alumna. Hope you'll be able to make one of those events. How awesome would it be for you to have your own radio program here on WEFT? Whether you prefer music or public affairs, your first step is here. WEFT Airshifter Training is scheduled for two evenings in February. Both trainings are required, as well as two one-on-one studio sessions. No experience is necessary, just a desire to contribute to some of your time and energy to WEFT. Applications are due no later than Monday, February 1st, so don't delay. Pick up an application on our website, weft.org, or come down to the station at 113 North Market. Even if you don't want to be an airshifter or know if you want to be an airshifter yet, it's a good training to learn all about what WEFT is, how you can be involved as a volunteer, how you can perhaps shift a sit in the, on the booth and help with the WEFT courier, which happens every day, as you know, from 4 to 6 p.m. As I said, this is Free Speech Radio. We listen to Free Speech Radio News, and this is Smile Politely Radio. I'm sitting in for Rebecca Pulsiver. I'm Sandra Auten, and I have a studio guest today who is Lucia Maldonado. Lucia, hello. Welcome to the studio.
Thank you for having me.
Glad to have you here. Let's see if I got you on it, Mike. There we go. Try it again. Say hello again.
Hello.
Might have our mics mixed up a little bit there, but I think we're good now. All right. Okay. All right. Yeah, that sounds better. Okay, so Lucia is a Latino family liaison with Urbana School District, and she brought to my attention a while ago that there are many unaccompanied minors here from Central America. And what I'd like you to do, Lucia, we'll talk about the CU Immigration Forum that you volunteer for, but I'd like you to just start by talking about their journey. We'll just kind of talk about their journey, where they're from, what started them on the journey, and just go on through what kind of transportation they took to get here, what happened once they got here, why they're here in Urbana specifically. So where are they coming from? Where are these young men, and now I understand a young woman, coming from?
The majority of the students that we have now are from Guatemala. But the students come from very different countries. this is not a new issue. In fact, 2 years ago, we had one student from Guatemala who arrived here when he was in elementary school level and finished high school, and he was able to graduate, and he came here alone. He was staying with different family members. But so this is not really new. Mm-hmm. What is new is that more and more kids are leaving their countries, escaping from the violence and the economic, the very, very extremely low levels, economic levels, but most of it from violence. All of the students that we have travel by themselves. Some of them, their families were able to find human smugglers to be able to guide them through the journey across Mexico. They have to go across two borders, obviously, and it's so dangerous for them to do that alone, especially because they don't have a plan. Once they leave, like I say, most of them are from Guatemala. Once they leave Guatemala, there is not really a plan, and they don't really have a map to guide them where they need to go.
So I'm just trying to picture this. Like, they have a backpack, and they just, like, have some...
That would be ideal. In reality, it doesn't happen that way, because they know that it's going to take them weeks to do that. And the less that they can carry, the better. So a lot of them will say that they live with nothing, just with a little plastic bag with maybe a pair of jeans or something to change along the way, but not really, they're not really prepared for what comes.
Do you think that the violence is, like, imminent for them and their families? Like, they've seen somebody tortured or killed, or and so they say, like, I'm just going to take my chances and I'm just leaving? Or
these are kids, so mm-hmm. most of them is not really their decision. It's actually the parents, the ones who choose to send the kids this way. Now, I want to clarify something. When I started hearing about kids reaching the border by themselves, my thought immediately went to the parents, thinking, are they crazy? Why are they sending their mm-hmm. kids mm-hmm. through such a dangerous journey? But now that we have kids in the school and I work with them, I have been able to learn that the levels of violence and the gang activities are so dangerous. And it's not, at one point, it doesn't really become their choice to participate or not. The gangs start pushing the students when they are very young in elementary school mm-hmm. to participate with them. And they start training them or have them to do small jobs for them, distribute drugs or steal stuff for the gangs to be selling them and getting money.
Do the kids mostly come from cities or rural?
Rural areas.
Really? And the gangs are bad in the rural areas?
Yes, unfortunately, yes. We have most of them from Guatemala. We have one from Honduras and one from who came all the way from Argentina. In different circumstances, but he came all the way here alone. But the kids from Guatemala, most of them... they are escaping the poverty mm-hmm. levels too, because mm-hmm. they didn't have anything. Their families really didn't have anything. We have a student who his dad decided to send him here when he had somebody killed right in front of them. They were walking downtown. He was walking downtown with his father, and this other guy just came and attacked somebody in front of them and killed them. Mm-hmm. So when he describes this, he said that his dad was actually trying to protect him with his body because he was really, really scared that he was going to get hurt. And that the same day, his dad told him that he was going to be sending him this way. Mm-hmm. And they all the others have similar
and
stories.
And they say, like, get on the road and start moving north, or I'm going to try to find what they call a coyote or whatever, yeah. Smuggler.
Some of them who know somebody, that's what they do. They hire somebody to take the kids. Mm-hmm. Most of the students that we have, the older students, they did it on their own. Mm-hmm. They just, some of their friends were thinking about it, and they just decided to do it together, but then mm-hmm. along the way, they get separated. Mm-hmm. The youngest one, he actually had a human smuggler ride picking him up from his house in Guatemala and travel with him all the way through Mexico. Mm-hmm. But when he was getting closer to the border, he just left him in the middle of the night in the desert. So this
how
little,
old was that kid?
11. So mm-hmm. this little 11-year-old was in the middle of the night, nowhere, and he said that he was really afraid because he knew that there was big animals. He said that he could hear something moving around him. So he just walked in the dark. He said it was extremely cold. But something that he remembered is that on days prior, when he was traveling with the human smuggler, he told him that his mom paid him to get him across the Rio Grande on a boat. Mm-hmm. So all this boy knew was that he needed to get to a river, get on a boat, and that he was going to be able to cross on that boat. So the following morning, he got up, he started walking, and he found El Rio Grande because he was really close. And he said that he saw a boat by the riverside. And because he heard from his human smuggler that he was going to be crossing in a boat, he thought the boat was waiting for him. He got in the boat, he started paddling, and that's where immigration found him. So the goal for all of these students, or all of these kids when they're traveling, is to go across the border and get arrested. Mm-hmm. Once they get arrested, immigration sends them to the Office of Refugees Resettlement. And that office is the one who takes charge of them and who feeds them and puts them in shelters, mm-hmm. while they find somebody to pick them up and take them out of the detention center. They're called sponsors. People who take them out of the detention center are called sponsors. They don't really have any legal ties with the minors after they pick them up. They just have to do the paperwork and they get released. So that's how we get them here.
I'm not understanding that. So, okay, let's start back a little bit though. So how far is Guatemala from the border where they're usually coming from? So they're crossing all of Mexico, right?
They go across Mexico. There are different routes, mm-hmm. so they have different mileage.
But we're talking area. Like 900, I think maybe 900 miles or something.
A little more.
To get to the border.
Just to get to the border, yeah. Because that's the goal. Just to get to the border.
Yeah, and then they get arrested. They get put in the refugee camps, and
first they get arrested, and they are taken to jail.
And
the kids will tell you that they went to jail. They describe these big cells with nothing on them, and just plenty of kids on each cell, that there was no more space for them to sleep. Uh-huh. So everybody sleeps on the floor. They don't get blankets. They don't get any. They don't get food. They don't get anything. It's a jail.
Okay.
And after 1 or 2 days, then they're transferred to the Office of Refugee Resettlement.
Resettlement.
Yes.
And
that office is the one who, once they receive the children, they distribute and they send the children to different centers across the country, actually.
Uh-huh. And is there a center close to here?
No. I believe there is one in Chicago, but none of the kids that we have came all this way.
How did they get to Urbana then?
Because somebody from Urbana sponsored them. Somebody from Urbana who knew the family back in Guatemala agreed to be their sponsor. So they do all, they fill out all the paperwork, they request their release from that center. And the students are released to this person.
So they're released to a sponsor. So indeed, they're not exactly unaccompanied at that point then, right? I mean, they arrived unaccompanied, but they have a sponsor. Is the sponsor responsible for their well-being then?
Nothing. The only responsibility the sponsor has is to pick them up at the airport. The students, all the kids that we have in Urbana arrived at the Indianapolis airport. So somebody from the Office of Refugee Resettlement travels with them to the airport. They meet with the sponsor for 5 minutes. The sponsor signs a form, and then each one of them go on their way. So the sponsor has a child, but they are not legally responsible for anything, and there are no legal ties with the minors.
But truly, the sponsors here in Urbana know that family in Guatemala? That seems...
Hopefully, that would be the ideal. With some of our students, that was not the case. It was just, they knew the family because the family was looking for somebody here through some other family members. So I really haven't been able to understand how they make those connections. But some of the students have never met their sponsor until they arrive to the airport and meet with them.
And we don't know that they see them afterwards then either. They pick them up. They bring them here.
Yes, and some of them, unfortunately, after a few days, are left alone because their sponsors decide that they cannot take care of them or that they don't have the space to have them with them.
Uh-huh.
So the kids are left by themselves. They have to find their own housing, which is one of the big issues that we're trying to focus on, have more options of housing for these kids. because they...
So how many kids are you helping in the Urbana school district that you know
right
of?
Right now we have 9 attending high school and 2 at the middle school level.
And how many of those are in homes where you feel like it's a secure, safe place for them to be with an adult?
7 of the 9 in high school. The 2 of them at the middle school are okay.
Mm-hmm. So they are with some sort of sponsoring family and living with them?
Not with the original sponsor, but they were able to find or to do an arrangement with other people that they met along the way, or their employer, or different people that they have met in the community. So
does CU Immigration Forum help make those connections for people who might be able to take them in?
We're not helping with housing now.
No.
We just started helping because last weekend, actually, 2 of the kids were asked to move out of the place where they had been staying for a few months. Their landlord actually wanted them to move out the same weekend. If you recall, last weekend was so cold, and one of the boys called me, and he was freaking out. He didn't know where to go. He doesn't know anybody else.
Yeah.
We were able to find a space, and today, actually, they're moving to their new space.
Mm-hmm. Were those the brothers that I had met?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we are just started to focusing more on finding options for housing, but what really is we are spending more time is legal, mm-hmm. trying to find more legal resources, because all of them have a lot of needs. They need representation. They need immigration attorneys, and as you can imagine,
right.
they are extremely expensive. They are all required to appear in court every number of months. So we are just trying to help them with that.
So let's talk about that. So now we know that they've journeyed here, they've flown into Indianapolis, they've hopefully secured some kind of housing. Maybe it's not very secure, but mm-hmm. Some of them are with families.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are actually, I know these 2 that you talked about, they found jobs and they were trying to pay their landlord and mm-hmm. support themselves, and they got kicked out, unfortunately, which is mm-hmm. not surprising. They're high school kids living
yeah.
alone, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, that could get pretty crazy. So there you go. And now we're up to the place where you're doing a good job of trying to keep them in school. That's one of your goals, I guess.
It is one of my goals, but it's a very easy job because all of them get the message when they are about to get released from the office of resettlement. They get instructions that one of the most important things they need to do if they want to stay here and mm-hmm. if they want to have reason to fight their estate is be in a school.
Mm-hmm.
Almost immediately after they arrived in the area, they go and register in a school,
mm-hmm.
and they love a school. When you talk to them, you really see that the school becomes their safe place.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, one of the students said that it's his favorite place because it's the only place where people actually ask him, how are you doing and how are things and do you need anything?
Mm-hmm.
They are getting a lot of services at the school. We are providing clothing. The high school has a food pantry, so every 2 weeks the students are getting food baskets to take home with them. They are getting health services too,
mm-hmm.
through the school health center.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really becoming their place.
Nice.
And all of the students work after school, so you will see them going to school and then they go to work until midnight or 1 o'clock in the morning, and the following morning you see them sitting down in the school. And they're doing great. Their grades are good, and it's really an easy job to keep them in the school. They really like it.
You're listening to Smile Politely Radio. This is WEFT Champaign 90.1. My guest in the studio is Lucia Malanando. She is the Latino family liaison at Urbana and also is a volunteer for CU Immigration. We're talking about unaccompanied minors who've arrived here from Central America, some young men, and now we understand there's just a young woman who's recently arrived. And that's the ones that she knows about in Urbana, that there's 9, did you say, maybe?
9 high school.
More?
Mm-hmm. Yes, 9 high school.
And we know also that there are some who go to school in Champaign. They might not have the same services there. We're not sure about that. But she also knows through the kids talking to her that there are some of these children actually not with families, not in school, and
mm-hmm.
Living in our community somewhere at large, basically,
yes.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. And so now we're talking about that we've got them up to that they have to go to court. And so there's a very good chance that they could be deported, I guess, right?
They all have open cases. They all have to fight their right to stay here. If you think about immigration law, if you think about international law, you will. It's easy to imagine that these kids will deserve some kind of refugee status just because of the fact that they're really escaping from something. They're not coming here because they just want to be here. They're really escaping from something. However, that's not the case for their countries. They really have to find an attorney. They have to pay an attorney. They have to go to court on their own. Is when they get released from the Office of Resettlement, they get this big package of paperwork that they need to fill up, and they need to be following instructions. All the instructions are in English. If you look at the documents, the instructions indicate that they have to be calling immigration to find out when their next appointment is, and if they cannot get through with the phone, they have to go on a website. And some of these kids have never used a computer. So they really need a lot of support with that. Mm-hmm. So that's how the Immigration Forum is really involved. They're trying to help them to keep up their appointments, to keep up and finding a good attorney. Because mm-hmm. there is a lot, as you can imagine, there is a lot of people who are trying to take advantage mm-hmm. of their situation.
Mm-hmm. And the CU Immigration Forum is housed at the University YMCA. I think they got their own 501c3 status this year.
Yes.
Who formulated that organization? Organization, when did they come into being, and how can we get a hold of them?
Yes, it was actually years ago. It was just a group of community members who were concerned about different situations with Latinos, and we were just looking for ideas to improve the life of Latinos in the area. Because I've been a member since the beginning, I brought up this issue of the unaccompanied minors a couple of years ago, actually, when we started seeing more and more students. Uh-huh. And that's how we're collaborating now. And I can tell you that I don't know what I would be doing if I didn't have that collaboration, because we really need it.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And how long have you worked for Urbana Schools?
8 years.
In this capacity?
It's... Actually, this was not part of my responsibilities because we didn't have any of students. My responsibilities involved providing information to Latino families, translating information, assist families with registration, making sure that the kids have everything and the families have everything they need to keep the kids in a school, arranging transportation, making sure they have supplies. When in 2012, when President Obama announced the Fair Action for Childhood Arrivals, through the Immigration Forum, we were able to organize workshops to make sure that all the students that we have at the high school level who qualified to get their work permit were able to do so. And we did that at the school. So in a way, my job is, with my job, I'm able to change it as I see the need.
Uh-huh.
There have been some things that have not that were not part of my job description in the beginning. But I'm very fortunate that the administrators understand that this is a changing community, and that allowed me to change my job based on what.
Yes, really. Need. Hats off to Urbana School yes. Districts for having the healthcare center that they have at mm-hmm. the high school, for having this food bank, for having mm-hmm. you on staff. That's really a very very big deal. Very big deal. So, can you tell me the website for CU Immigration Forum?
I don't know it. Sorry.
I don't either. I should have looked it up ahead of time. But I bet you if you Google it.
Yes, if you Google it.
I think it's, and I know Facebook is really easy. It's C-U Immigration Forum. So there's a dash mm-hmm. in between the C yeah. and the U, and you can find them on there, certainly.
Really
but tell
easy.
Us what your needs are. Probably, I'm sure at the website you can make a donation.
Yes, can make donations. One of the biggest things that actually 2 weeks ago we had an issue, health, more information and more access to health services. What I'm finding out now is that many of these students arrive in the area when they are 16 or 17, so they start high school at that age. By the time they are 18, the school health center, Francis Nelson, what used to be Francis Nelson, uh-huh. the public health department, they are not able to provide some services that they will provide to students because they are adults. They're 18 already. So, for instance, we have one of the students who needed to get a vaccine in order to be in compliance with the school health requirements. and he was not able to get it at the school health center or any of the other places. Yeah. We found out that the vaccine was available at Myers from all places, but it was really expensive. So now I'm looking ahead and I'm thinking some of these students are going to be 18 soon, and they are going to need more vaccines and they're in order to stay in a school. But they really cannot afford to pay close to $200 for each vaccine. That's how much it was for that student. So that's a big need right now, more information about health access and resources for this, for young people who don't qualify to apply for a medical card, and they can afford to be paying high expenses for high prices for medical services. The other one is options for housing. I can tell you that these kids are really responsible. They are young adults, but they really only do what they do with their time is go to school and then they go to work. So you really don't see them, and we really don't have a lot of housing options for emergencies. So those are two areas that come to mind that are really needed.
All right. Thank you so much for being my guest today. I hope
You're
that
welcome.
Some of our listeners can open their hearts and homes and pocketbooks
sure.
to help out and to look for the CU Immigration Forum when I type that
yes.
up.
And even if somebody wants to just help out with something, there is always a need for more school supplies. So I'm sure everybody knows where Urbana High School is. So if anybody wants to drop off some school supplies, the kids arrive here with what they're wearing, mm-hmm. and that's it. They don't have anything, so they have to start getting everything from zero.
Yeah.
So any help is always
Well, we know our community is generous. I had heard about this ordeal, so we did a clothing drive and a coat drive and just did it in my garage.
Yes.
And lots of my neighbors and lots of all the people in Urbana and my friends from Champaign donated, and we were able to collect some money too. And so if you just want to talk to Lucia, is there a way that they could get a hold of you if somebody wants to ask about how to make a donation?
Sure. My office is at Urbana Middle School. The number there is 384-3685. My email is lmaldonado@usd116.org.
Her last name is spelled MALDONADO.
Yes.
Lucia Maldonado. All right. I'm Sandra Otten. You've been listening to Smile Politely Radio. This is WEFT Champaign. It's been the WEF Courier for Friday. Join us for the WEF Courier every weekday for Democracy Now! At 4 p.m., followed by two additional programs of information and analysis. And up next, we're going to have Hip Hop Express. I think William is in the booth tonight, ready to do some hippin' and some hoppin'. And we're going to go out with some more of that beautiful fingerstyle guitar music.